from the corner. Yes! And a foul!
Is he having himself an afternoon? Schneider feeling
his third three already.
On the drive goes Patty Casey for the basket.
Backdoor cut, Swider with the jam. This is Swider in close, and one.
Welcome to episode 6 of the Swider Show. Time's flying by. I think we've had a lot of great guests, but this week we decided to do a little mailbag episode, obviously talking about opening night and everything that came with that. So, obviously, welcome again, Patty, episode 6.
Yeah, it's exciting. Well, first of all, with episode 6, one of my friends actually suggested that we start for, like, I don't know, social media for maybe, not the names of the episodes, but, like, when we're dropping, it's, like, do it according to a jersey number. So this would be LeBron. It would be episode number 6 and LeBron's jersey number. But, no, definitely get excited for this episode. It's going to be a little bit more unique. And, yeah, like you said, opening night last night. Congrats from one co-host to another. Big night. I'm sure that was, you know, a dream come true, which we'll get into, but definitely an exciting week for the Swider Show as a whole.
Yeah, man, it was great. Obviously, opening night is something that not a lot of people get to experience. It's usually it's only like the two best games, most recognized games for opening night. So, obviously, the Celtics and Sixers played before us, and then obviously able to kind of experience ring night, kind of experience what it was like. Just opening night in general. So obviously the game didn't go how we wanted it to go. Honestly, just an up and down game from the start. I thought we came out and played tough. I think we were down 3 at the end of the first quarter and actually was able to cut it to 7 for halftime. So obviously played a competitive first half, and then game kind of went on, and I thought we battled back at the end, but then Steph just was unbelievable towards the end. So
there is. He's ridiculous. It was like such a, this is going to sound so dumb when I say it, but it was such like an NBA game. You know, it's like always like, it's such a game of runs. It was literally like Warriors go up 12, you guys cut it to 1, they go up, 14, you guys cut it to 3, and then the third quarter they kind of blew it open. But then like you said, in the fourth, LeBron kind of like took matters into his own hands, and it was definitely a game there for a while. I think the Warriors had to sweat it out a little bit more than they probably expected in the second half, but I mean, you mentioned, like, we kind of had a recap of your first preseason game, but I'm sure the experience of your first actual game is a lot different, right? And the other thing I want you to touch on is, like, this isn't just any opening night for rookies. Like, obviously, I mean, it's a dream come true no matter what team you play for in the NBA, especially me. I'm not going to cast any stones at guys who are, you know, open up tonight where there's, like, 20 different games, but you guys are, like, you know, it's launching the NBA season. It's like all eyes are on that type of game. It's like a TNT game. So kind of what's like pregame like, you know, maybe go through your fit for your tunnel entrance, because I saw that floating around Instagram. Like, kind of just take us through what it's like from when you get to the arena, and then obviously the TNT crew is there, and then the ring night ceremony. It's like a very important night.
Yeah, no, for sure. Obviously, like, just throughout the day, you know what I mean, you kind of feel the hype of opening night. TNT had this whole entire set outside for their opening night
set. Yeah, they had, like, the outside. Yeah. It was like when they do, like, a game day type setup.
Yeah.
It was awesome.
Yeah, so obviously the whole entire TNT crew was there, and you could just kind of feel the hype throughout the city throughout the day. We had a little bit more traffic than normal, just getting to the arena and stuff like that. So shoot around, like, you go to shoot around, and then there's all these shirts saying ring night on it all over the, I mean, I don't know if we had any games like this last year, but at Villanova we always had like the whiteout games, like where you go for shoot around and every single seat has like a white shirt on it. You're just getting ready for those. It's obviously those big time events.
Yeah, that looks sweet even when the gym is empty. I don't think we had any last year, now that you mentioned that, which is I would have grabbed one if we had one. I would just swipe one off a chair.
No, for sure. But yeah, no, you could just, like, even from shoot around, you could just feel like the moment coming. We had this, my guy Jason Dumas, he actually went to Syracuse. He reports for the Warriors. Go ahead.
Dude, he's my boy. Yeah. He is my boy. Yeah. I DM'd him yesterday.
Yeah, no, great.
You follow me on Instagram. So when I get followed by a verified Instagram guy, that, like, makes my day.
Yeah.
So yesterday he posted a picture of you, because he's obviously a Cuse guy, so he shows love to you. But Yeah, I said like go time or something. So shout out to him.
Yeah, so he posted me on his story yesterday, which was great. But I was talking to him a little bit before the game. He's like, hey man, like this is gonna be rocking it here tonight. And like it kind of just brought me back to that moment of just like, wow, like this is like actually ring night for the Warriors. Juan Toscano-Anderson, who was on our team, was obviously very emotional going into that game because he won a ring. He's from Oakland, so he obviously has a lot of stock built up into that area. A lot of his family got to come to the game. I actually gave him my two tickets for the game just to make sure that his family could come.
That's awesome.
And then he actually got his mom a courtside ticket to the game.
Yeah.
I saw that
interview. It was awesome.
Yeah,
like at shoot around he was talking about it, like it was the first time she had sat courtside, which was just like so cool.
Yeah, so you can just feel the energy just even from shoot around, and then obviously you go back to the hotel, get ready, do all the pregame stuff, and then after that you kind of just get ready for the start of the game. We did pregame meal, and then I put together a little something for my pregame fit, nothing crazy, you know what I mean, a little Central's hoodie.
Yeah.
Some cargo pants, black cargo pants, and then I have these Air Force. Definitely not a great fit, but it was able to get the job done. Able to get an Instagram post.
Yeah, we could work on it.
My agent
What do you say?
Yeah, so my agent actually hit me up today. He's like, "Hey, we're gonna get you a stylist." You know what I mean? Like no more of that same Essentials hoodie you wear everywhere. I'm like, all right.
Bro. Yeah, I liked it though, because I mean, for people who don't know, you're one of those guys that you're like. If you can wear, if it's acceptable to wear like a hoodie and sweatpants somewhere, then you're wearing a hoodie and sweatpants somewhere. Like you're always like comfort over style type of guy. So
big time.
You mixed in the Essentials hoodie, which I've seen you in pictures of it. Yeah, that might be the NBA money that you're splurging on a little bit because you didn't have that back at Q's.
I didn't.
But no, I liked it. I liked it. It was simple.
Yeah, the Essentials hoodie was actually a gift, so I'm not actually splurging yet. Not splurging yet.
Yeah.
But yeah, man. So actually, so just obviously walking to the arena, you still feel the energy in that moment. And then obviously, I have one of the early shooting times too. So I go out to the early shooting time. The whole dance team is out there doing their routine. There's a national anthem going on. It's one of those weird things where they're setting up for the whole entire night while you're trying to warm up. It's like,
yeah.
You kind of experienced that in college a little bit too, but this was a whole new level.
It's probably not on that level. Yeah.
They had the banners going. They had everything just top level. I mean, the Warriors do a great job. Obviously, the brand new arena in San Francisco is unbelievable. It has a little bit of a Madison Square Garden feel. Like, not fully, but...
Really?
Yeah, it does. It's the seats are the same exact color. The lighting is kind of like Madison Square Garden a little bit. But... Obviously, it's not like that in the middle of the city feeling, going in the elevator, like all right. That stuff. But
yeah, it's man. Like the complete opposite in that aspect. Isn't it right on the water?
It is. It is right on the water. Yeah.
Yeah.
Clay actually drives his boat in, which is pretty cool.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I feel like I've seen that before. That's awesome.
Yeah. So yeah, man. So
it's unreal.
So yeah, so I think just getting ready for the game was something that was... And then after shoot around, you have like a lot of time to kind of just get yourself mentally ready. So I got my shoulder work done.
Right.
I took a shower. You know what I mean? Just trying to get myself ready
yeah.
for the game. And yeah, just honestly try to prepare myself mentally. And then obviously after that, I mean, all these guys are going out
right.
and getting. Warming up and doing their pregame rituals and getting their massages and doing all the things they need to do. And yeah, so after that, just kind of just got ready. And when we ran out, ran out the first time, you know, the stadium was already full. Like, I think it holds like around 20,000. It was all 20,000. And Jason Dooms was actually telling me that, like the cheap tickets in there last night were like $650 for like nosebleeds. $650 for nosebleeds.
Oh my God.
So,
it's unreal.
Yeah. So like people were really.
I mean, you can see why, but like, yeah.
Really anticipating it. So, yep. After that, after we went out and warmed up, obviously really cool experience. And we went back in the locker room. And then they did their whole entire ring ceremony. So we were honestly just in the locker room, just waiting for it to kind of be over. And it was a long ceremony. I mean, they deserve it, but it was definitely a long ceremony.
Right. Yeah, I mean, the game didn't get tipped off to like 10:40 Eastern almost. So, but I want to ask, like, you were talking about preparing mentally. How tough is it to just, people always say, like, the cliche, like, oh, you just got to treat it like any other game. I feel like that's got to be impossible. Like, your first NBA game, like, there's definitely moments where I'm sure you're sitting in the locker room and you're kind of like, oh, my God, like, this is like, so surreal.
Yeah, it's what I think more of it is just like, all right, like, LeBron's always been my favorite player, and not trying to be like that fan or anything like that, but it's like, all right, like, now I'm finally here. I'm in this moment. You know what I mean? Like, we talked about this a little bit during the preseason games, but it's like, all right, like just seeing how he prepares, seeing the way Anthony Davis prepares, seeing the way Russell Westbrook prepares, the energy that they go about, the focus that they have. And then honestly, just like, you could tell just in the practice leading up to the game too, it was just a whole entire different level of focus. It's like the season's here now, and it's not that the preseason anymore. And I can only imagine how they prepare for the playoffs and everything like that. So,
right.
So it's just the level of intensity, the level of preparation is just something that I've always marveled at, and something I really appreciate, just being a person who really takes his preparation serious. So for me, it's been great to learn from those guys. It's been great to obviously see the way LeBron prepares and how much intent and thought he puts into his preparation.
Mm-hmm. All right, so obviously the game's going how it's going. Gets to the fourth quarter, you guys are down a little bit. Selfishly, I was like, oh, maybe Swire will get like 6-7 minutes here because it was a little lopsided. But then, like I said, you guys go on a run, so kind of make it more of a game. But then they come back from the commercial break, and it's like you, Scotty, Max, whoever else, you're like walking to the scorer's table here. They tell you you're going in. What's your thought process then?
Yeah, so initially, I wasn't even in the lineup initially. He had a lineup in and kind of subbed in Max like last second, and then he goes Cole Scotty, and then he goes Cole Scotty, because I think he saw the Warriors kind of subbing their rookies and second year guys. So all of a sudden it's like, all right, me and Scotty, we're just going. You know what I mean? Just going out there. So obviously it's tough. You know, I mean, you're sitting down for 46 minutes, obviously in real time.
I know. Yeah.
Yeah, so, but it was surreal, though. Finally getting out there, finally getting NBA minutes, NBA touches, NBA actual statistics now. You know what I mean? It's something that was really cool. And that Scotty told me he's like, hey, let's run like a pitch back right away. You know what I mean? Let's get you a shot.
Right, like a crack back?
Yeah. So we got to
tweet out and put that video of, I know it's a miss, but it hit like literally every single part of the rim.
Every part of the rim.
No, I still don't. I've been trying to figure out all day how it didn't go in the hoop.
It felt good. You know what I mean? Like I held my fall.
Yeah, it looked good too. Yeah, I could tell. Like
held my fall.
Like it didn't come out flat at all, which is like very impressive. You're on the bench for like you said 3 hours and then you go in. But
I was a little bit behind the line.
Yeah, you mentioned
too.
Oh, it was deep.
Deep shot.
But I got to be honest, I never guessed that your first stat line you'd have more rebounds and assists than points, to be honest with you.
I knew that was coming. you're not the first person who said that. I probably would have even bet more that I would have a three before an assist in the NBA, but
yeah, it's, exactly.
Hey, it's all going as it's supposed to.
Take them where you can get them.
But
shout out Max too. He had a good shot on the three. That was pretty deep too.
Yeah, no.
Get you
sure.
in the box score.
Yeah. For sure, man.
But, so who'd you have? Do you have anyone at the game, or did you give both your tickets to JTA?
Yeah, I gave both my tickets to JTA. Obviously, he's from the area. He has a lot of people, and it was a special night for him. So I was happy I could give those tickets to him.
Mm-hmm. I was curious about you know, knowing you and your family, you and your parents, and like your brother are very, very close, your sister too. What's that like? I don't know. Do you hop on a family FaceTime after the game and like kind of give a recap of the night, or what's kind of like the feedback there? Because obviously it's just as big of a night for them as, you know, it is for you.
Yeah, I mean, if it wasn't so late, maybe. But
oh yeah, true.
Yeah,
it was like 1:30.
Yeah. So it's super late, but obviously everyone in the group text kind of We have a family group chat. And we all
popping off.
Yeah, they were all texting in the group chat. My sister Courtney actually texted me and was like, "Hey, like, I'm really proud of like the pregame fit." That's what she was proud of.
Oh, really?
Yeah, that's what she was proud of.
All right, there's some love for it. Yeah, maybe you don't need a stylist then.
Yeah, no. So, she was very proud of it. Kylie and Connor obviously texted me, and then obviously my parents.
Mm-hmm.
My parents were all over the game. Texted me after the game. Yeah. So overall, just obviously a very special moment. A lot of hard work, a lot of dedication, and just a lot of just overcoming obstacles. And like I said, like my journey's never been a straight line. You know what I mean? It's always be ups and downs.
Yeah.
And honestly, not playing as much my first NBA game is just another obstacle, and it's something that you gotta just go through.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So, like I said, nothing in my journey has ever been a straight slope. You know what I mean? I had a great summer league, okay preseason, ups and downs in the preseason. It's just it's all about just being a part of the process driven, and I'm looking forward just to every opportunity I get, and obviously just building up after this first game and kind of just taking this season head on.
Mm-hmm. All right, so I guess, do you have anything else to add to your first game day, or you feel like we kind of encapsulate everything for the most part?
Yeah, I mean, obviously just watching Clay, Steph, and LeBron and AD just from the first row, it was unbelievable. And just like I said, just seeing those guys lock in, just seeing those guys just just from that close is great, you know what I mean? But I think overall, good first experience. And just playing defense after sitting 46 minutes on the bench
it's
not easy. It's not easy. So
happy
I didn't fall or anything like that.
Yeah, I don't know if it was a switch or what, but you got caught on the top of the key there with your point guard. I forget his name, but
Rollins.
You held up well though. Yeah, you stayed right in front of him.
Hey, my legs my legs came through in that moment.
It feels like they're gonna like shatter. You also went sweatpants the whole game, which we'll get into with your bench seating arrangements and everything. But I guess that's a pretty good segue. So you said you're watching them first row. Got to call you out there. That's actually a lie.
Well, the first and fourth quarter,
you were in the second row.
The first and fourth quarter, I was in the first row.
Well, no, I noticed that immediately because I think it was another commercial break. They came back, and you were sitting. Well, Scotty had been there for most of the game, but then you're sitting like right next to coaches. I'm like, "Let's go! He's going in." And then it took like five more minutes. Like I thought it was one of those situations where like, "Cole, sit here. We're putting you in."
Whew. Man.
But all right. So first of all, thank you to all the listeners that submitted mailbag questions. Obviously, with how busy this week was for Swider and for basketball NBA players across, you know, the country, even college players. I'd say this is maybe the busiest time of the season when you're kind of like getting the season going, trying to find your routine, like, you know, figuring out travel, all that type of stuff. So it's pretty hard to pin down a guest. So we pivoted to the mailbag episode, which is actually very, I don't know, I'm as excited for this episode as I have been for like any other one. You know what I mean? Like just, it's a little less preparation for us, not as much preparing. It's kind of like it's almost like we're guests on our own show, and the listeners are hosting us. So
yeah, just guys being guys, man.
Yeah, exactly. So we'll see. I actually got some questions too, given that 90% of the questions are from family and friends from Scranton. So. But speaking of which, shout out Leo. Leo's my older cousin. We should actually have Leo on. He is the most insane story. It was just so long. But long story short, he biked across the country basically for basketball.
Wow.
So he's the nicest guy, you know. We'll have him on at some point. He submitted a question. His first one is exactly what we were just talking about. He said, "I've noticed Swider sitting behind the bench at some points throughout the game, both preseason and last night. So how does that conversation go with LeBron and the rest of your teammates, especially in the preseason when those guys are sitting out? Are they kind of just like, hey, hit the second row, or what's like sort of the pecking order there as far as how do you end up behind the bench?"
Yeah,
you're still on the bench, but in the second row.
Yeah. So obviously, it kind of goes by contract status, obviously everything like that. So
okay.
Obviously, being a two-way contractor during preseason, there's guys who are on exhibit 10s, there's guys who are non-guaranteed guys, so it kind of just goes based on So the first game, our GM and coach decided that the bench, who would be on where on the bench.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, so it's like assigned seating?
So the first game was assigned seating. And then after that, it just honestly depends on after that game, we didn't have assigned seating, but it honestly depends on just obviously status on the team, and everything is just depends. You know what I mean? So me and Scotty last night thought we would both have seats in the front of the bench, but things happen. You know what I mean? So one of us had to sit in the back. So one of us had to sit in the back. So last night we kind of just decided. I said I just want the fourth quarter. Just give me the fourth quarter, Scotty, because I was assuming it was going to be a close game and everything like that. So I got the first and the fourth. Scotty got the second and the third. And the first and fourth were our best quarters, so I told Scotty that I should probably sit in the front. Yeah, you got to stay up there now. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. That's actually so interesting. I just kind of figured it was like a, you know, you figure it out for yourselves thing, but the assigned seating is crazy.
Yeah, man.
And, if you ever need any pointers, I was there all season at the Dome. So, I mean, the best thing is just maybe not sit behind, like, AD or, like, Thomas Bryant or Damian Jones. Like, try and find, like, I mean, no shots at, like, Scotty and Austin. They're both on the show, but maybe the shorter guys on the team, Pat Bev.
Yeah, I actually had
6'1", 6'2", 6'3", you know what I mean?
I actually had two pads kind of give me a little elevation, so that was helpful. Okay.
Yeah, I mean, you're also almost 6'10", anyway. The other thing, what's tough is when it's on the other end of the court, and I'm sure Coach Ham gets in the way sometimes, you're like ducking side to side trying to figure out like what's going on.
Yeah, no, so I usually use the Jumbotron trick, you know what I mean? So I can't see straight to Jumbotron, seeing live action right there. So that's usually my trick.
Mm-hmm. Do they show the game like live on the Jumbotron?
Yeah, they do.
Wow.
Yep.
There's music going, everything.
Yeah, no, it's
all right. Thank you, Leo, for that question. That was a good one. That was way more like in depth than I thought it was gonna be.
Appreciate that, Leo.
Yeah, shout out Leo. Peach Baskets. Everyone should follow Peach Baskets on Instagram. That's his page. Swire, you should follow that. That'll give him some clout.
Hey, why not?
But the other theme along these questions, I'm gonna try and kind of build it up to last night, because there was a lot of questions about last night. But some of this we kind of covered in the pilot episode, but. I feel like this one will elicit a great answer out of you, because I know you as someone who has always had a tough time leaving the gym, but Ben submitted a question and asked, hey Cole, at what point in your career was it hardest for you to leave a gym? Thanks, Ben. No, thank you, Ben. But is there a point where it was like it almost became an issue, because obviously you can't work out 5 hours a day, so it's like, all right, like maybe it's your dad, maybe it was a coach, it's like, dude, like go home, like.
Yeah, I think honestly, I think there's two times that kind of stick in my head is when I was at Villanova and I wasn't really playing that much and I was just obviously super upset. I would just go to the gym and just kind of use that as like my therapy type of thing, and it was almost to a point where it was like it wasn't helping me, like just going there and just shooting because I feel like we have this thing called flush days, and the guys who don't play a lot of minutes have to come in for the next day, and they have a live practice while the other guys who play a lot of minutes go into the cold tubs, ice tubs, and then go into film. So I would have to get ready for the next day, but I'd just be upset just kind of going to the gym, and I would just, like, tell myself, like, hey, Cole, you got to, like, leave. You know what I mean? Like, this isn't helping you. You're going to be tired for tomorrow, blah, blah, blah. And then, honestly, right now, since I went from my college season to getting ready for pre-draft to the draft to summer league, we came back in August, started working out right away, preseason. Right now has been a time where my coaches have really gotten on me to get out of the gym and try and be very not cautious, because one of the things about me and my position is that I just guarding me and Buddy in practice, like we're constantly just moving, running around.
Yeah.
And we have these little chips.
That's the worst.
Yeah, we have these little chips on us that track like our load and how much pounding we're doing. And then they also take into account what we've done the day before, what we've done in the preseason, and in the optional workouts that we had in August, September,
right.
Summer League and everything like that. And my load's been very high. So they've been on me. So today I went into the gym trying to get some shots up, and a couple coaches came down and told me, he's like, hey, Cole, like, your load's really high. Like, we want you to take the whole entire day off. But for me, it's like one of those things where it's like, hey, like I'm used to doing this and that, but like at the end of the day, the coaches know best. It's an 82 game season. It's a long season. There's a lot of things that happen in the season. So for me, that rookie wall, I want to delay that as long as possible. You know what I mean? Because there's going to be days where I play in the G League for 38 minutes, and then I have to come back and play 10 minutes for the Lakers, and it's going to be a lot of ups and downs. So just kind of trying to manage that right now is something that has been. And then obviously I didn't shoot as well as I wanted to in the preseason, so it's like, all right, like, is it shots? Is it mental rest? Is it physical rest? You know what I mean? It's all these different things that you kind of try and juggle throughout an NBA season. So I mean, that's a great question, but I think it's just been a combination of that time at Villanova.
Yeah, like where you are.
Yeah, and then right now has been a big time for me.
That's definitely, like, when you have a work ethic like you do, it's pretty hard to distinguish, like, people say, like, working harder and working smarter.
Yeah.
Because, like, part of you is just like, oh, like, I just want to put in all these hours, but it gets to a point where that's literally, like, counterproductive, you know what I mean?
And for me now, it's like, I haven't been through an 82-game season. Like, I've been through a college season, so, I knew last year, like, all right, like this should work, this shouldn't work. But not being able to go through NBA season, like, I'm not like LeBron, a 20-year vet, where I know, all right, at game 33, I'm going to know how I feel. Or game 62, I'm going to know where my body should be at. Like, I don't know that yet, so that's kind of where they're cautioning me at, is like, it's like, hey, like, make sure you take care of your body now. It's just so you try and delay that rookie wall, and you can just keep on going up and up and up throughout the season.
Right. Wow, that's fascinating. Thanks to... who was that? Ben, for that question. Next question comes from Kyle. Was it Ben? I think it was Ben, wasn't it?
No, thank you, Ben.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, shout out, Ben. But next question comes from Kyle. This one's about growing up. This is one I missed in the pilot episode, which is tough. So, obviously, you're an NBA player now, Swider. You played in an NBA game last night. Did you play any other sports growing up besides basketball? And if so, do you have a funny story from any of those sports?
Yeah, so I played baseball and football growing up. I played baseball to my eighth grade year. I played football to my freshman year of high school. I played freshman football, and then after that I stopped playing. But do I have any funny stories? Wow, putting me on the spot here.
Do you hit any dingers in baseball or no?
I didn't hit one little league home run. Something I'm still...
Are you kidding me?
Something I'm still upset about. Listen, now.
Alright. Well, I just found my trump card over you for the rest of my life. Because I'll tell you right now, you could score in an NBA game. Like, tomorrow night against the Clippers, I'll put my stake in the ground and predict you score your first points. It'll probably be an amazing feeling. It won't feel as good as hitting a baseball out of the baseball park. Home run is the best experience in sports. It's not even close.
I probably scored about 10 touchdowns in football. Obviously.
Okay.
Had a dunk in basketball. You don't know that feeling.
Oh, sure I do.
In a game?
I dunked once.
In a game?
Oh, yeah.
Come on. Yes.
I did. Junior AAU. We were up like 65. Pickpocket, clear lane, went up, dunked it.
Really?
And then my senior high school, I probably went like 0 for 7 on dunks, honestly. Oh,
you tried 7 times?
I would try, not 7 times, probably like 4, and just like none of them were really that close.
Wow.
But I'm telling you, you should like join a softball league or something, just hit a home run just for the experience of it.
that would definitely be my, that's something I'm going to do. After I'm done, you know what I mean, after I retire for a little bit, maybe I take a year off, join a senior softball league, and just smack one out.
Yep. Yeah, that'd be tough if you were like, I'm your co-host telling you to join a softball league, and then you like twist an ankle or something. But that was my I don't care what questions we get. That's now my favorite question from Kyle, because I now can brag to you about hitting a home run, and you never did. So,
going to that topic, I think Jimmy Boeheim told us one time that he hit like 20 home runs in the league.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I think I hit like 25. So even if he hit 20, that's fine. But
I was nasty. Well,
that was the worst thing I've said on the podcast. Actually, knowing the number of my Little League home runs is just mortifying.
Oh,
that was horrible.
Was actually 25?
No, but I don't know. It was something like that.
Wow.
I want to change the topic now, though, because I got to stop talking about myself. But yeah, Jimmy said he'd hit like 800 in ninth grade or something.
Oh, I bet. I mean, knowing Jimmy was probably great, but he probably, you know what I mean.
Yeah, he probably got the calculator out, calculating his batting average and everything.
He said he hit 900.
Yeah, exactly. He has a very specific number. He's like, my batting average is like 757. Actually awesome.
If you guys know Jimmy, that's the most Jimmy thing I've ever heard.
Yeah, that's actually awesome too. Even if you don't know Jimmy, like, that's just the coolest thing ever. Like, yeah, being like, yeah, I hit 747 on your batting average. Also, while we're on this topic real quick, did you see the video of their game last week?
No.
Or no?
No.
Jimmy reposted it. It was like obviously late hours. I think I saw it like when I woke up for work at like 7:30, so it was like 4 o'clock your time. This guy, I don't know who it was on his team, hit like a 60-footer to win the game at the buzzer. It was like a zero step 60-footer. Yeah, it was insane. We'll repost it from the account or something. It was actually insane. But Jimmy's playing well over there, so shout out to him.
Oh,
he had like a
it.
Two-episode hiatus, so we had to bring him up again.
I just think the funniest thing when talking to Jimmy about Greece, every single time we talk to him, like the number one thing he says is like the food's great.
Yeah, well, I am shocked by that. I thought he wouldn't like the food.
No, but
that's good for him.
But
I mean, that makes it way easier living over there.
You know what I mean? He talks about the basketball here and there, but like usually, like most of the time, he's like the food's just amazing.
Come on, last year if you fired up his notes app, he had literally an extensive list of the best road meals, like best road trip meals,
based on the chicken parm.
Yeah, every time. Wait, that's actually a good segue.
Okay.
Next question is from who's it from? Kellen. Kellen's my little brother, so I'm just being real biased with who I'm picking here.
Yep, go ahead.
But he asked, what is your favorite arena to play in college?
Whew. I mean, the easy answer is the Dean Dome.
Oh, yeah. That was unbelievable.
Yeah. I would say that was probably a top two
mm-hmm.
place that we played. I love playing at Providence because my whole entire family was there for those games when I was at Villanova. And obviously, you said road. I mean, the dome was unbelievable to play in.
Yeah.
And then Cameron was cool.
That's just a given. Like, the dome is...
Yeah.
I mean, the dome is the dome.
I mean, Cameron was so cool, but, like, it was... We just got beat so bad when we played at Cameron. It's just, like, hard for me to think about it, so...
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, the whole, production at UNC is, like, ridiculous.
Well, I thought the production at Duke was just, like, you felt like you were at like, an event at Duke.
Yeah. I'm talking about, like, the video before the game.
Oh, yeah.
Like, when Jordan comes on and he's like, this is Carolina basketball. I almost started rooting for Carolina.
Also, Virginia Tech was...
That's a joke. That's a joke for the Cuse guys.
Oh, of course.
Oh, yeah. Virginia Tech is probably the most underrated.
Yeah. When Chris Lavelle talks about this all the time, but when they were playing Sandman...
That was awesome.
Yo, man, when they were playing Sandman at the beginning of the game, man, I swear, you hit that shot, man?
Yeah, I was just about to say, you hit a pull-up there. But you can't. That doesn't really come through as much on TV, and I feel like it doesn't get enough love.
Yeah, no, that place was rocking.
Yeah. There's one entrance, like, both teams come out of this almost like garage door type thing, and then, it's like a Roman gladiator type setup. It's like the stands are all up here, the court's down low.
Yeah, I want to say Cassell College. It's actually called Cassell Coliseum. Virginia Tech's place.
Oh, Virginia Tech's?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Wait, who's Cassell?
I don't know. But
oh, Oh, but it's Coliseum. That's the point you're getting.
Yeah. That's what I'm getting at.
Oh, all right. Yeah. All right. Sorry, I'm being real dumb there.
Yeah. So
I could have sat here for the. I thought I was like, oh, did Sam Cassell go to Virginia Tech?
Yeah, man.
That's hilarious. But, yeah, shout out Kellen, Kel Case, for that question.
Yep.
All right, moving on here. This is actually a very good question from Jake. This is for Cole. Whether it be a lottery pick or undrafted guy, who do you think is the most underrated rookie in the league this year? And you can't say yourself or Buddy.
Okay.
Because obviously those are the correct answers. Like, is there a guy, like, in pre-draft who you feel like doesn't maybe get as much love and you're kind of like, oh, he's awesome? Like, maybe AJ Green? Oh, God. As a podcast, I mean, that was horrible. I'm supposed to be hosting the show. I ask a question and then just answer the question.
Yeah, no, I would probably, there's a lot of guys who I think are a little underrated. But I think Keegan Murray, like, I know he's the number 4 pick overall, yeah. But I think he hasn't really gotten a lot of hype. I don't know if it's because he's in Sacramento, but he did win, like, the Summer League MVP.
Yeah.
And then in preseason, he came out and had, like, 16 or 17 on us in the first game. Like, and I don't think people are really talking about him that much. And like I said, it might be because he's in Sacramento. It might be because this and that. But I think he's really good. I think Ben Mathurin, who's another...
Oh, he's awesome.
Who's another BDA guy. Another guy who I worked out in pre-draft. Really good. Jalen Williams from OKC. I think he's really good. Yeah, man. I think obviously there's a lot of two-way guys who have played really well. My man Keon Ellis with the Kings. I don't know. I think there's a lot of good rookies. Being a rookie in the NBA, I think a lot of guys will attest to this. It's like it's really based on fit. You know what I mean? Who needs you now? Who's gonna give you the ball in your hands and everything like that? So, I think overall, just there's a lot of guys in our draft class, and I think we'll see as the season goes on who really gets a chance and who's able to kind of show, because obviously I think Golden State has really good rookies, but they're competing for a championship, so those rookies might not get a chance. Like,
yeah, it's like it's different. It's like a different timeline. Yeah.
So yeah, no, I think those guys for sure. I think Jalen Williams especially is gonna have a really big chance. Ben Mather is gonna have a really big chance. Keegan Murray, those three will have really. Really big chances to have a breakout year.
Right. Keegan Murray, I completely, like, agree with you on. It sounds funny because he was the 4th pick, but he's just, like, he just scores. He's a professional scorer, as they say.
It's unbelievable. Like we played him in Summer League, and he had, like, 26 on us. Like, the easiest 26, like, just effortless 26.
It looks like there's no adjustment from college to the NBA. He just plays the same way.
Yeah, and then he's sneakily like a very good 3-point shooter, even though his shot's kind of like a slower release, but he gets to his spots. Mm-hmm. He's able to raise over people, and I think he did win Summer League MVP, so he's doing like he shouldn't be that underneath the radar, but I think he is.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he definitely is. This is sort of in line with the last two questions, so this is from Jordan. He asks. For Swider, is there a city you've never been to that you're specifically looking forward to traveling to in the NBA?
So, good question. I've never been to OKC, Oklahoma City. I've been to Houston a couple of times. Actually, no, I'm looking forward to going to Dallas. Dallas,
I've heard, that's a good answer.
I've heard really good things about Dallas. So, been to San Antonio. I'm trying to think of any, if Chris LaValle was on the show, we'd probably be talking about Charlotte right now. But yeah,
it is also like I feel like Phoenix, like that's like right around Scottsdale, right?
Big time, yeah. I'm excited.
The other thing is that I feel like if you ask most rookies this on 28 teams, they'll be like, "Oh, probably LA," but you're obviously there, so it's like,
yeah,
and it definitely eliminates a heavy hitter.
Yep.
All right, so we're gonna kind of switch gears a little bit here. This is about. You know, your life, obviously, but it's not specifically about basketball. This is from Mandy. Hi, Cole. Be honest. What weather do you enjoy more, Los Angeles or Syracuse? And does the weather change affect your play? And obviously, it's not the winter yet, so you can't, like, you could be like, oh, well, you don't know how the winter is in LA, but I mean, LA is LA, so I feel like you could sufficiently answer this, even though you haven't necessarily been there in, like, December, and you've experienced the Syracuse December.
Yeah. I love Syracuse. Syracuse has my heart, but I would have to say I like that.
Yeah, got to preface it with that. Yeah.
Yeah. I like the LA weather more. Like, today I woke up, it was 85 out. A little hot, but come on. That's nice.
Yeah, I mean, it's impossible to beat.
Yeah.
Does it affect how you play or, like, your preparation and everything?
So, if you guys know me, you guys know how much I sweat. And usually when the weather is cold, I don't sweat as much, and I'm able to, like, get through a game mm-hmm. with one pair of shoes and all the stuff like that. So I don't think it affects my play, but it does affect my sweat. So
yeah, definitely.
So yeah, so that's how I'd answer that question. So I like the warm weather. I like being in the warm weather. I like being able to walk outside now with shorts and a t-shirt, but it definitely does affect my sweat, but not so, I wouldn't say so much my play.
Yeah, I mean, mentioning your sweat, we've talked about that on the podcast before, but it was funny last year during the season, like, we play, I don't know, 3 home games right before Atlantis, or leading up to Atlantis, and obviously we're, like, practicing, and the white unis, like, you were fine, because it gets cold in Syracuse quick, so it's like you didn't have to change your uniform. Then we played in Atlantis. Remember, we played Arizona State. You were wearing the, you played very well, but you're wearing the white uniform. It's like your shorts were like see through by the end of the game.
Oh, it's disgusting. It's one of those things where it's like you gotta. I don't know. I used to get mad about it. Now I'm just like, all right, just give me a new pair of shorts.
Yeah, you just gotta. You gotta just. I mean, Schwarls, we were talking about him on the Buddy episode, but he was always very prompt with it, running over with the new jersey, with the new shorts, making sure you're all right.
Oh, he was unbelievable with me. I talked to him early in the season. He saw how much I sweat just working out, and he was like, all right, just let me know what we got to do.
All right, this one comes from Jimmy. This is for both of us. But I don't know if I'm going to answer it, because I don't know if the listeners will care too much. Hey, Cole, what's the best game you've ever played in your opinion? Maybe give, like a high school game and then a college game.
Yeah. So in high school, we played we played up in, like, northern Maine, and we played against we always did, like, this Maine trip. My high school coach always set up this Maine trip because he played college basketball in Maine, so he had a bunch of buddies up in Maine. We would play Lee Academy and then Bridgeton Academy back to back.
Where do you play?
University of Maine, Fort Kent. So if you look at a map, it's literally like the absolute, like, tip of, like, Maine. It's actually unbelievable.
The tip top, yeah.
That's hilarious. It's unbelievable. So we would do that trip every single year. And I remember my grandparents came up for this game, playing against Lee Academy, and I had a 49 at Lee Academy, and they had, like, 4 or 5 divisional
players.
Couldn't get 50. And but the thing is, I had 31 in the first half, 7 threes in the first half. So I was feeling good, talking shit to the other coach. You know what I mean? Just typical. And then, yeah, college, obviously, North Carolina was my best college game. So.
Yeah. Yeah, that was crazy. Wake Forest game was pretty unbelievable at home, too. I'm just saying that because then I'm hoping you say, oh, well, you scored in that game. And I say, yeah, I did.
I remember after that game, GMAC, we're doing like our pre-practice workout, and GMAC was like, did anyone see Casey last game? Scored the number 1 player from England?
Yeah.
Was it England or Ireland?
Yeah, right into his chest. I don't even know.
The
Cordes from deep. That's the audio in the intro.
Yep.
Yep. Yeah, I've never listened to it on my own. But, yeah, that's where it's from. So, kind of last non-basketball one here. Well, I guess it's basketball because it's your teammates, but it's not necessarily skills. This one comes from Charlie. He wants to know the funniest teammate you've ever had.
I've had a lot of funny teammates. Brandon Slater at Villanova. Obviously, my high school teammates, super funny. Chance Ellis from St. Andrews. And I don't know, had a bunch of funny teammates. But I think Patty was around this guy. You know what I mean? I think it's Jimmy Boeheim's obviously up there. But I think the funniest teammate I ever had, and Patty knows what I'm going to say, is definitely, and we've referenced him probably five or six times on this show, is probably Chris LaValle.
Yeah.
And
he's like, he makes me laugh in a way no one else I've ever met can make me laugh.
It's just a Tuesday night.
Like, everything he says is so funny.
It's just a Tuesday night walking into the room, just a quick one-liner that he says every single time, and it's the same laughs. So I would probably say Chris LaValle is the funniest teammate I've ever been around.
Mm-hmm. Do you have a funniest coach answer?
Whew. I mean, we had so many funny coaches last year, but
yeah,
prime
our coaching staff was funny, and like it was funny in like different ways.
Yeah, definitely last year. Like GMAC is hilarious, but I just think like the constant comedy of Alan Griffin, just
yeah,
and then
the nicest guy in the world.
Yeah. And then I think obviously Red's hilarious too. You know what I mean, so.
Yeah. Yeah, you do a good impression of all of our coaches last year.
Yeah. So, and then obviously Coach Boeheim's hilarious too. But I mean, just.
Mm-hmm.
And then I mean my high school coach is probably the funniest guy I've ever been around in general. I mean, if you guys have met Coach Hart, he's definitely the funniest coach I've ever had. But those guys at Syracuse were hilarious.
Yeah. Other like Syracuse teammates, Chaz Owens and John Bowl are also very, very funny. We had a pretty funny team last year. Like, we had a good sense of humor as a team.
Oh, we had such a good team, man. Such a good team. It's a great group of guys. And
such a good group of guys.
Like Chris Lavelle said, some of the highest character guys I've ever been around, man.
All right, again, thank you to all the listeners who submitted questions. I'm sorry that we didn't get to all of them, but the good thing about this slider is we could just stock these for mailbag question of the week. Maybe we could do two some week. So if you submit a question, it will be featured at some point on the show. That just means you have to listen every week to find out if you're featured. You know what I mean?
Seriously, so, subscribe.
The final one is from, Brian Wojo, our good friend.
Yep.
He asked both of us a question. He said, "At Cole, when you made your debut on Tuesday night, did you take a second to capture the moment and realize you're playing on the big stage you've dreamed of your whole life? Was that feeling already satisfied from the preseason games?"
No, that's a great question. And obviously, Brian's been one of my best friends growing up. Like, we used to shoot around in the backyard together. So this question is like a little bit more personal for, obviously, me and him. But I think just obviously growing up and just kind of like the journey that I've had, like just like all the ups and downs, all the times that, you know what I mean, didn't know if I was going to be able to get there, didn't know if I was going to be able to have the opportunity to get there, you know what I mean, playing JV my freshman year at Portsmouth, being told I wasn't good enough, going to St. Andrews, not playing as a freshman, then going, like, my 4 years being a Jordan Brand All-American, everything like that, oh, you're going to make the NBA, then go to Villanova, don't play, finally get a situation at Syracuse, think about going back for a fifth year, decide to come out, oh, you're not good enough, you're not even going to get an E10, you know what I mean, what are you doing, you should have gone back. So just kind of being able to land with the Lakers, land in this great situation, have a great summer league. I think last night I was able to kind of just think about it, think about my journey, and just realize, like, hey, like, it doesn't stop here, just another part of the story. So I think from early PYB days, when my dad yelling at me, don't put me up against a wall, tell me stop fooling around my friends, to my dad telling me in seventh grade that he's gonna have to start saving up for college because I had 0 points in the AAU game, to you know what I mean, like, to just to all those little moments that kind of just made me the person,
like, stepping stones,
the person and competitor I am, I think it's surreal, but I'm not satisfied by any means. I feel like that was the first of many NBA games, and it starts out with a kid with a dream from obviously a small town like I am in Portsmouth, Rhode Island, and being out in LA is there was a tweet last night by one of our local newspaper reporters, like, hey, like, Cole Swider checks into his first NBA game long way from Portsmouth, Rhode Island, which is
I saw that. Smashed a like on that.
You smash a like, yeah.
You go
yeah.
through my likes, it's on there, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So
no, but it's definitely it's like a weird sentiment, right? Because you kind of have to. It's like this balance of being like, oh my God, this is so surreal and unbelievable, and I've dreamed of it my whole life, but it's also not necessarily unexpected and not the last time it'll happen. So, like, I don't know. It'll be cool to check in like, a couple years where it's that's your normal now. You know what I mean?
Yeah. No, I hope. I don't take any moment for granted either. Like, that's one thing I try to remind myself every day is, like, hey, walking into this facility, walking into, like, this locker room, being a part, like, seeing my name on this locker with the Lakers uniform saying Swider on the back, like, yeah, I'm not satisfied, but at the same time, like, I don't take any moment for granted because I know, like, there's another guy coming for this spot. There's another guy who's dreaming of this spot, who's working really hard in the gym, maybe in the middle of nowhere or on a G League team or in college, still in high school, fighting for this spot right now. So something I don't take for granted. But at the same time, I'm very hungry and very focused to kind of just keep on leveling up, keep on trying to cement myself in this league, and just keep on growing.
All right, and then Woj's question to me was, at Patty, my guy, this isn't even a question, just a nice message, which is a very Woj thing.
Yeah, yeah.
At Patty, my guy, how you doing? Cuse is loose. Miss you, dog. Let's get after it in L.A. soon. You know what? I'm going to take him up on that.
Hey, Patty, how are you doing, though? Like, obviously, we asked a lot of questions about
I'm doing great.
How's the men's league going? How's the working life? How's your new schedule?
I mean, since you asked, the men's league, we actually didn't get any mailbag questions about the men's league, which I was very excited about, because, we're on a streak right now. We're on a winning streak.
Yeah.
Which is why I was going to, if I was, you know, the one to lead off the show, I was going to say that's probably why everyone's tuned in to hear the recap of our two-game winning streak. But, yeah, so last night, Tuesday night, played a very good ball club here in New York. The men's league's in New York a little different than Scranton.
I bet.
A lot more physical, very good players, you know what I mean? Not the best refs. Me and my brother were giving it to the ref pretty bad, but, I played all right. My older brother probably had like 35, 40. You know, hitting threes from God knows where, and we pulled out a W. It was very gritty. You know what I mean? Like
gritty win for the Casey brothers.
A lot of steals, very physical. Just old school basketball. And then last week, we actually played three of Jimmy's Cornell teammates. Did I say this last week?
I think you told me.
Or no.
I think you told me.
Okay, but it wasn't on the mic, which, like, I got to...
Yeah, go ahead.
People are tuning in for.
Yeah,
so.
Go ahead.
But, second half, the other team goes up by 10. 8 straight for me. Immediately.
Wow. Kobe.
Bring us back. We're 2 down. Shot up Babe McGrath. Hits the biggest 3 of the game. Puts us up by 1. Swing, swing. Danny Ryan puts us up by 4. And from there, it was just smooth sailing. We end up winning by, like, 14.
Wow.
So we start 0-3. Went 2 in a row here, so I think we got a bye week next week. Very earned. I was super sore this morning, so I could kind of relate to, you know, how it is playing a game last night like yourself and then waking up a little sore. But, that's the men's league update, and that's all I care about.
Wow. Well,
and also, we got a mailbag question. I was curious your thoughts on the MLB playoffs, how closely you've been following it.
Yeah, no, I'm not. I wouldn't say I'm a huge baseball guy, but I keep on track in terms of like Sports Center and stuff like that. So I know what's going on in terms of that, but I'm not sitting down and watching any full games or anything like that. But
I mean, I
thought the New York Yankees rocked the baby to sleep was sick last night.
That was unbelievable. It was like, I don't know. That's like one of those things that draws people. Like, it's a clip that people who don't watch baseball like yourself just see on Twitter. It's like, what is going on?
No, but it
was the most, like, insane thing I've seen on a baseball field maybe ever.
Wait, when he hit the home run and started going like this around the...
yeah, he did it for so long.
That was great.
And I mean, the Phillies are the best team in the world right now. They're actually they're down 8-5 as I'm saying that, which is tough. But they're gonna, I think they're gonna win the World Series, so that'll be good for me. All right, ladies and gentlemen, we had to take a little break there because I had some mic issues.
Typical.
Take one for the team there, because it was actually Swider who had the mic issues, believe it or not. My $25 mic is working perfectly. But like I said before, thank you to everyone who submitted mailbag questions. That was pretty fun, Swider, like I said, sort of being the guest.
Yeah, no, for sure. I thought all the questions were great. Wide-ranging questions, which I thought were great. And obviously, yeah, just...
exactly.
Just... good to obviously it's great having guests, but good to kind of like catch up a little bit.
The other thing is, I say every single episode, if you want to submit a mailbag question, you got to send it to swidershow@gmail.com, and we'll also accept some DMs on Instagram, which is swidershow the Instagram, and the Twitter is the same thing, @swidershow. So hit us up on there. You get featured on the show. But I guess kind of segueing, just sort of wrapping up, Suarez got a busy night ahead playing the Clippers tomorrow night. So I was actually curious about that. Are you guys the road team tomorrow or the home team?
We're away tomorrow. We're away.
Okay, so have you been in that locker room yet or anything? Like, how different does that make your routine?
Well, I think we're still in our locker room for the Staples Center.
Oh, I guess that makes sense. Wow.
The Crypto.com Arena game, so...
Crypto.com.
Yeah, Crypto.com. Obviously, it would be different in terms, because I know they cover the banners, they cover all the Lakers stuff in.
Oh, right.
Yep. Mm-hmm. In the Crypto.com Arena, but obviously it would be good. It would be another game for us. But I don't know. They say it's mostly Lakers fans, but we'll see. We'll see
tomorrow. Right. Yeah, that's why I thankfully didn't have to prepare any questions this week, because that was just maybe the worst question ever, asking if the Lakers still have their locker room in their home arena. But I guess just sort of like previewing tomorrow night, you're on TNT again, then you got Dame and the Blazers. For those who don't know, I was a diehard Dame fan, or still am.
Still
am. Obviously now I'm a Laker now I'm a Lakers / Pistons guy. But I guess, what's the preparation like going? Obviously, tomorrow they have two, superstars, a lot of good players. Blazers just got Jeremy Grant. Shout out Q's guy. So
another Q's guy.
I guess just sort of talk about the next couple games before we hop back on the mic for next week.
Yeah, no, obviously, two great teams, two great opponents. Obviously, superstars on both those teams. So I think for this next game, just kind of just obviously going over scouting report. The Clippers are a really deep team. They have probably 12 guys who could be starters on NBA teams around the league. So just making sure that we have all those guys. We have all those guys just in our scouting report, making sure we go over that. And honestly, for us, it's all about just continuing the process, continuing the next game. Obviously, Kawhi and PG are going to be great challenges for us. And like AD and LeBron are for other teams. So trying to get as much down as we can. Obviously, playing the Golden State and the Clippers back to back is two great challenges. So I think as a team, we're excited for that and kind of excited to test ourselves against the best. So the first game is the Warriors, and it goes as we wanted it to. But good thing about the NBA is that you have a game probably 2 or 3 days after, so you'll be able to play right away.
Right. Have you gotten a sense of what the practice schedule kind of is like during the season? Like, it's mostly just individual stuff, right?
Yeah, no, not as much yet. For guys who aren't guys who aren't playing as much, like we usually have the day of the shoot around, we usually have a little play group that will play live just to make sure we're getting the reps in. And then obviously you gotta be ready for your opportunity, because your opportunity can come at any game. I think it's just, it depends on each. It goes from guy to guy. Obviously, LeBron's not gonna have the same schedule as me. Obviously, I'm not gonna have the same schedule as Patrick Beverly, who's going to play 35 minutes a night. So I think it ranges from player to player. But I think for young guys, you got to be ready to practice, be ready to go. And it's just something that I'm ready for.
Right. You're always in that mindset of kind of just staying ready. But obviously right now you guys have some guys on the injured list. So I guess just individually, sort of maybe touch on, you know, the situation you're in right now. Obviously, you're still with the two-way, but, you know, you're with the Lakers last night. You checked in, shot would have went in. I'll be pissed about that for the rest of my life. But, yeah, what are the next couple weeks looking like, you know, individually for you as far as roster, you know, yeah, fitting in?
Yeah, yeah. I think for me, the NBA changes day by day, so... Right now we have two guys who are going to be out for 3-4 weeks with wrist injuries. So obviously, hopefully being able to stay on the NBA roster during that time and hopefully getting a chance. But if not, be with the G League team because training camp starts the G League team Monday. So it's a very fluid situation. So whatever they want me to do, whatever they ask me, I'm obviously going to be willing to do. And just preparing myself to be able to do both. You know what I mean? I think in this...
Right.
In this two-way contract, I mean, Buddy will tell you too, there's going to be some days where you're going to be playing 35 minutes with the G League team, and 2 days later they're going to want you to play 10 to 15 yeah. minutes with the NBA team. So just making sure you're mentally ready, mentally prepared, doing all the right things in terms of when you get your opportunity in the NBA, just making sure that you make the most of it. Just because you're prepared doesn't mean it's going to come through all the time. You know what I mean? I thought I prepared well for summer league and wasn't able to make as many shots as I would have liked. But I think just trying to prepare the best I can for each moment, each situation, being able to prepare myself to play in South Dakota at the Pentagon one game and then
yeah.
play
that's a shooter's gym.
Yeah, play at Madison Square Garden maybe a month later. So I think overall right. just preparing myself the best I can just for both situations, and right now obviously being with the Lakers and preparing myself with that team.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, dude. I mean, I'm so excited individually, so I can't imagine how it feels for you to kind of like actually put the uniform on, get out there, and obviously the preseason is the preseason, but when you're at ring night with the Warriors and you're actually getting the regular season going with LeBron by and AD by your side, it's yeah, I can't wait. Yeah. Be a diehard Lakers fan all year watching all 82.
Yeah, no, it's definitely the show now. And like the thing about the Lakers that it's on every time we play, yeah. it's on every. They talk about us nonstop. So it comes with the territory. It comes with playing with LeBron, and it's something that I mean, not I want to say particularly excited for, but not afraid of either.
All right, I feel like that kind of wraps up the show there. Don't you think, Swatter? I feel like. Got some great mailbag questions in. The other thing that I sort of feel bad we didn't do at the top, big shout out and thanks to Austin Reeves for last week. That episode did very, very well in terms of numbers. I think we got 700 million downloads, so that hit our number. but no, seriously, thanks to Austin for coming on. That's a very fun thing about, you know, doing this now is kind of a, you know, last night I was watching Reeves and I was like, oh, that's our boy. He was on the show.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's like, it's another guy who's in our corner now. He's a Swatter Show guest. So it's like, if he does well, the show does well.
Yeah. Whoever's on the show is a friend of the show for life now.
Oh, 100%.
So, obviously, but, we've had some great guests so far. So, obviously, shout out to Scotty getting his first two NBA points yesterday.
Yeah.
And yeah,
that was like as calm as you could be at the free throw line. That's maybe the hardest thing to do, like for your first career points, is going to the line. Sitting, you're cold, like you said. Like that's nothing I want any part of. And he just knocked him down like he had played like 45 minutes.
Oh yeah, no, I mean Scotty's a gamer.
Yeah, so. he's cool.
Yep.
But
yeah, man.
All right. Thank you guys for tuning in. Thanks to everyone who submitted some questions. Swatter, congratulations. Big night. Very proud of you. So, yeah, I guess we'll see you guys next week. And we'll be back with some guests next week. You won't have to listen to us just talk back and forth. So.
Yeah, thank you guys again. Another great episode of the Swatter Show. And we'll be back next week with another guest. So thank you.